the school, if you could meet up front shortly after the service tonight. If you could please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 3. We're going to be looking at some situations in the life of David that can be an encouragement to us to pray. One's more of a specific situation. One is a response to that David wrote as he was God delivered him from his enemies. The first situation we're going to look at is here David, the psalm title, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. You know, imagine your son turning on you. And not just his son that turned on him, but people in his kingdom that turned on him. Many people. David was in a very dire situation, you know, fleeing his own city, having to flee his home. He's the king. And what does he do? It says here in verse number 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? David's enemies were on the rise. He had many people turning against him. You know, in one way, it was a popular thing to be going against David. Many people were doing it, and it was increasing. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. You know, it could have very well looked like things were turning on David. It could very well look like God was no longer on David's side. He's having to flee. He's having to flee his throne. He's having to flee the city. He's having to flee his own house. His own son has turned on him. And it looks like his doom is coming. And people are saying there's no help for him in God. But it says in verse number 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Then he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. So here we have, in the midst of all this trouble that David is facing, the situation, if you were put in his shoes, could have very well seemed impossible. You know, if Absalom would have followed the counsel of Ahithophel, the kingdom could have very easily be turned on David. Yet God obviously had a different plan. David was facing an impossible situation here. In many ways, everything was turning against him. You know, what was he going to do? Have you ever felt in life like, I mean, what's the use of even praying about this? And maybe you've still prayed, but you just were really wondering, is this really going to do anything? Because it seems so impossible. And here's David in a very dire situation. And the fact is, some of the situation, you know, may have been David's own fault. But yet, what did David do? He still came to the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. He had a great need in his life. And if we go over to, you know, it's in 2 Samuel number chapter 17. You know, even though things were looking very bleak for David, God was still working. God was still on the throne. And it says in 2 Samuel 17, verse number 14, it says, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So here God was at work. The situation seemed impossible, but God brought down the counsel that would have defeated David. And God was able to turn the kingdom back to David. You know, what do you do when you're facing these situations? You know, are you facing a situation? Maybe you have people in your own family that are turning on you. Maybe they're even mocking you. Maybe they're even saying, well, if God was really working for you, then why is this happening to you? David found himself in a similar situation. But here, if you go to verse number 5, it's an interesting verse here. In a sense, we see here, you know, the position of one who is truly trusting. We find the position of resting. He says in verse number 5, you know, think of all these things that are going against him. You know, what would you be doing? Well, he says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I mean, it was a popular thing to be against David. Many people were turning against him. People that knew him were turning against him. But yet David looks to the Lord. He cries unto the Lord. And what does he do? You know, does he sit there and fret all night? Lose more sleep? No, he rests. He puts his trust in the Lord. And then he says, verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. And here we can learn from David's example of trust and this resting that he did in the Lord, no matter how difficult the situation was. Do we have that same faith in our lives? So here we have a sad situation. His own family turned on him. His own son turns on him. But in this dire situation, David turns to the Lord and cries out to him and puts his trust in the Lord and rests in him. Let's go over to Psalm number 18. So this psalm here says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. Now let's go down to verse number 4. It says, the sorrows, let's begin in verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He says, I will call upon the Lord. Now notice the situations he found himself in. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. So here we have you surrounded by the sorrows of death. In many ways, death was coming in upon him. He was surrounded by it. Probably any which way he turned, it was like he was going to face death. You think of him fleeing in the wilderness from Saul, constantly on the run for his life. He said, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And if you think of a flood, you think of the torrent, you think of the raging of a river, the raging of a flood. A flood is a powerful thing. You know, people sometimes probably can underestimate the power of water as it is moving. You know, when there's a flood, you don't want to, you know, play around with it. Let's see how close we can get. You know, let's have some fun here. You know, a flood's a destructive force. I was reading a little bit about the flood of the Mississippi River, I believe it was 1927. I think there was around 700,000 people that were displaced from their homes in that flood. It did close to $1 billion, I believe, of damage, which in that time period, I think, was about a third of the federal budget. So this was a huge disaster. I mean, floods can wreak havoc. They can do a lot of damage. And here it says the floods of ungodly men, these vain, ungodly men, living a vain life, living in sin, made me afraid. You know, you're in the middle of a flood. You're going to have fear in your life. And that's what David's facing. This isn't just a small matter. He says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. You know, David is facing a spiritual battle here. He's facing physical danger. But he is also facing the forces of evil that are against him. You know, do you think that the devil wanted David to lead the kingdom of Israel? Well, no. And so David is facing great, not only physical, but also spiritual attacks. He's in danger, the snares of death. You know, he's in a dangerous situation that could confront him anywhere, yet in many situations, these things were not obvious. They were snares. They were traps that were being set for him. Now, do you think you would just enjoy walking through the deserts of Afghanistan, you know, not knowing when the next landmine could be there? You know, that would be not a fun situation to find yourself in. To be in that situation, not have any, you know, any way of detecting when a landmine could be in your pathway. To be walking with that type of a fear, that would be a fearful thing, wouldn't it? To have those snares of death anywhere in your pathway. What would you do? Imagine if you didn't have any special equipment to detect those landmines. You know, what would you do? Would you trust the Lord? Would you pray? Probably in that situation, you'd find yourself crying out to the Lord because you have nowhere else to turn. And David had the snares of death prevented me. They were right there. What does he do? In my distress, you know, distress is when you're in a narrow situation. It's like you have nowhere to turn. It's like there's problems all around you. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And it says, and cried unto my God. Okay, the idea, cry there is, he's crying out. This cry of help. And what does it say? He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You know, what an amazing thing. That David cried out, and his cry went into the ears of God. Now, obviously the Bible is using a figure of speech here to show that God hears when we cry out to him. You know, but there's an interesting verse at near the end of this psalm. Let's skip ahead to verse number 41. Notice David's enemies. You know, this is why it's so important to be living for God. This is why it's so important to not treat God like he's a book on the shelf and I'm just going to take him down when I need him. All right, but to constantly be living for the Lord, to having a relationship with him, to understand the importance of living a godly life. Verse number 41, what does it say? It says, they cried, but there was none to save them. So just because you cry out in life doesn't mean you're going to be delivered. Then notice even further, it says, even unto the Lord, but he what? But he answered them not. You know, that's quite interesting. They cried unto the Lord as well, but God what? God didn't answer them. They had forsaken the Lord. They had gone their own direction in life. And this shows us the grave danger of forsaking God, of going our own way, of doing our own thing. You think of the life of Saul. Saul went, you know, he had his incomplete obedience. He did things, I mean, he obeyed so much, but yet he didn't obey all the way. And Saul went his own direction in life. And what took place? You know, Saul, it says in in Samuel, how he wanted to get direction from God, 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 6, but the Lord didn't answer him. Now that's a distressing situation that Saul found himself in. I'll read you the verse. It says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." You know, it's important, the decisions that we make in life. You know, because someday you might find yourself in a very precarious situation. And do you want God's ears to be open to your cry? You know, there's some other verses in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 1. That speak of this. Those that reject wisdom. Proverbs 1:24, "Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." He says, I will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear cometh. You know, there is a result of going your own direction in life, of doing your own thing. Then go to verse 28. It says, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." You know, the decisions that we make in life do have consequences. You know, it is so important. You may be sitting there living a godly life saying, "Doesn't seem like it's paying." Well, guess what? By faith, you need to go forward and realize that living for God has eternal benefits. And one of those benefits is placing yourself on God's side and having His ear open to your cry. In Jeremiah chapter 11, you know, the people, God had given the people opportunity to repent. It's not like God didn't want the people. God says, "I don't take pleasure in the death of the wicked." God wants people to turn to Him. And He gave the people of Jerusalem opportunity to repent. And it says in Jeremiah 11, verse 10, it says, "They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words." Notice that. They refused to hear my words. God was reaching out to them. "And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." You know, it's so important that we take the opportunities that God is giving us to live for Him and to capitalize on those opportunities and to follow God with our lives. You know, tonight it is serious that we place ourselves on God's side. You know, but if we go back to Psalm number 18, you know, David was in a situation. It seemed impossible. You know, all around him were impossible type situations, but he had the God of creation on his side. You know, it says, verse 7, "The earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." You know, the God that controls all of the creation around us was on David's side. Notice verse number 17. It says, "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." You know, tonight, do we think we can handle life? Do we think I can get this one? Well, David, what does he say? He says, "They were too strong for me." You know, David didn't become self-dependent. Well, you know, I got that, you know, I got that that lion, that bear, you know, Goliath, look at me. You know, what did he say? The Lord that slew the lion, right? The Lord, he delivered me out of the paw of the lion. And we need to constantly be in that state of dependence, realizing, you know what, that enemy, too strong for me. But I have an omnipotent God that has all powerful, that has complete control over the creation around me. And I can come to Him in prayer, seeking help and trusting Him to provide the deliverance that is much needed. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would help us to come to You, Lord, in those distressing situations of life. Lord, help us not to react in our flesh. Lord, but help us to humbly come before You. And help us to recognize Your power. Lord, in our day-to-day lives, may we make those choices, Lord, to live for You. Lord, may we realize that the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And Lord, that You do hear the cry of the upright. And Lord, tonight we just pray that each one of us would just realize the importance of daily making those decisions to follow You. And Lord, how You want to answer our prayers, how You want to work on our behalf. And Lord, I pray for maybe those tonight that are facing hard situations. Maybe it's with family. Maybe it's with friends. Maybe it's just ungodly people that they're facing. And Lord, they need Your help. Lord, may You just encourage their faith that they would come to You. Lord, the God of creation. And to see, Lord, Your power at work in their lives. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.